let's head out to the McLaren Health Plan phone lines and talk with Kyle Mullen. He is the editor of the MERS newsletter. Kyle, how are you?
Good morning, Tony. Great. How are you?
I'm doing very well. You've been keeping an eye on local politics here with the now end of the Ingham County Road Commission Board and now the heated up race for drain commissioner between Mark Grebner and Pat Lindemann.
Yeah, I have, you know, and yeah, you get done with one controversy, another one is on its way. That's going to be a fun race to watch, Tony. First of all, we've got to make sure Mark Grebner does follow through and files his papers to run for drain commissioner. But I heard him on your program this week, and he is really fired up. He thinks that Pat Lindemann has not run the most efficient drain commission office that you can run, that he's got political cronies in office who aren't doing the work, and that the real work of the office is being contracted out to those who give them political contributions.
And initially, when we see that the mayor, and we're talking about Virg Bonero, says that he has a plan to bring more than 10 police officers back and put them on the streets, there's some strings attached, and the police union's not happy about it.
Well, no, I mean, but you know what, this is an alternative and kind of a public reaction to his plan to bring police officers into a single precinct down at the Armory, which I don't know if he's really winning the public battle on right now. I mean, when we approved the millage last year, I think folks thought that, you know, the focus is going to be on keeping as many police officers on the street as humanly possible. And while consolidating into an armory would save money maybe in the long term, you know what, there is an upfront cost investment, and really maybe we should be focusing on that at another time.
Well, in the state of Michigan, when we put our focus on the state capitol, taxes. The governor wants to try and get something done with that to take some of the tax burden, more of the tax burden, I should say, off business. Where do we stand on this issue?
Well, the bill is still in committee, and the chair had hoped to get this bill that would repeal the personal property tax out on Tuesday, but there's still a lot of people who want to testify on this, so we'll see if that actually happens or not. But once it passes the Senate committee, it will go to the floor where it appears there's enough votes for that, and it will go to the House, and the question will be whether the House wants to take it up before their November elections or not. If they do, it would give the Democrats a lot more ammunition to go after them as, you know, kowtowing to business and their friends on that side as opposed to helping communities where we're having problems, like we just said, keeping police and fire on the street.
All right. So what are the specific, or should we say most important details of that bill should it pass?
Well, it's what will happen with the revenue that is generated right now through the personal property tax on industrial equipment. That raises right now about $400 million for local communities in the state. And it's not equally dispersed at all. I mean, it is very specific to certain areas. For instance, Warren is impacted, Sterling Heights, River Rouge. I mean, areas where there's heavy industry who get a specific tax off that manufacturing equipment. So how do you replace that revenue? It's very hard because since it impacts select communities so differently, how do you go about doing that? And the governor's proposal is just to set aside a pot of money and give it to a kind of a group of locals and have them disperse it how they see fit. Whereas another alternative on the table is just to give these communities a tax credit against their new corporate income tax. And in that way, it's a more accurate depiction of how much money is lost. But the chair of the Senate committee doesn't really want to go that way. He's kind of siding with the governor on letting them just kind of divvy up a pool of money as they see fit.
Well, what the concern is that the revenue lost won't be totally made up.
Yeah, that's right.
And a lot of local municipalities are afraid of that.
Well, yeah, because there's, you know, it's not going to be 100% reimbursement. It's not going to be dollar for dollar. It's going to be somewhere between 98 and 81%. And, you know, they're already suffering from fewer dollars from the state, and property values are down, so they're getting less money in property taxes. And they're like, hey, listen, we just can't do this anymore. We can't keep our keep our communities running this way, we're going to have to ask our residents to raise taxes like we've done here in Lansing. We're going to have to ask that and get tax increases. You're making us raise the taxes that you're cutting, and it's just not fair.
Does it pass?
I think, it will pass the Senate. The House, I think the question will be if they pass it now or they wait till lame duck. But this is such a high priority for both chambers and the Republicans that I would be surprised, now that they've got a plan and the thing's moving, I'd be surprised if it doesn't go.
And the House approved the cyber schools bill.
Yeah, that's been a controversy for some time, this bill that would expand how many private companies can set up these private schools. And what we've done here in the House is not make it an unlimited number. We've cut the number of new companies that could do these cyber schools to 15 schools, and we're limiting the number of students statewide to 10,000 or 2% of the state student population. And the idea is to limit these schools to the parents who need the choice of having their kids learn over the internet or over the computer, that they're not learning in the traditional environment, and they need another option. And they believe these cyber schools are that option. There's been a lot of concern among Republicans in the House on this one that, that this isn't necessarily the next step that needs to happen. There's all sorts of concerns they have about whether they should get the same amount of money per student that a regular brick and mortar school does, like a Lansing school. I mean, should you get the same amount of money for that? There's also concerns about, accountability. How do you make sure these people are, these kids are taking the test? There's all sorts of different reasons. In the end, they were able to get the 56 votes. It's going to the Senate, and will get sent to the governor, who's expected to sign it.
HB 5372, in a narrow vote, 56-54, passed. How does that affect community colleges and higher education?
Well, it means that they're going to get a little bit money, a little bit more money next year. These are the budgets for K-12 education, higher education, community colleges. And it does give each of those entities a little bit more money, but it also has some strings attached to them. How those strings are going to actually be, what those strings are actually going to be, is still yet to be determined. I mean, the House has their plan, the Senate has their plan, the governor has his plan. And over the next few weeks, those entities will be working to try and figure out what the final version is going to be. But the Republicans are going to say, we're going to be giving more money to schools this year, but the Democrats are saying yes, but it's not as much as you took away last year. If you combine the 2 years together, it is still a net cut.
We have two questions left for Kyle Malin, who's the editor of the MERS newsletter here on the Tony Conley Morning Show on 1320 WILS. Senate Minority Leader Gretchen Whitmer failed to scrap a provision in the higher education budget that would dock universities like U of M that conduct embryonic stem cell research. Tell us about that.
Well, that was part of the Senate's version of the higher education budget, and what she was trying to do is get rid of what's called boilerplate language, or a provision that was put in to this higher education bill that would penalize universities like the University of Michigan, who conduct embryonic stem cell research and then don't adequately report what they're doing as far as that research goes. And Gretchen Whitmer and Democrats and some Republicans as well believe that's an overstep on the part of the legislature. They cannot mandate something like that. The debate, I think, in the end is somewhat moot because Governor Snyder has already said these types of provisions in boilerplate are not enforceable. He doesn't enforce them. As far as the reporting requirement, reporting requirements are always part of boilerplate. But if the House doesn't like what the University of Michigan is sending them as far as a report, it's just not a lot they can do about it.
Now, what is MERS going to be following next week?
Well, the budgets, I think, are done this week, and we're going to start talking about the consensus between the House and the Senate. We're not going to know how much money, though, they're going to have to work with until May. So we're going to hold off, I think, on budgets next week. We're kind of burned from this past week. We're not quite sure what's coming up next week, to be perfectly honest. But you can be guaranteed that we'll be on top of it, whatever it is.
Kyle Malin is the editor of the MERS newsletter. Go to MERSnews.com. Thanks so much, Kyle. Have a great weekend.
Hey, you too, Tony. Thanks. Hey.